Please write in body or spirit for the reading of the scripture. Today's reading is Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 12, and 17 and 18. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look towards the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, and a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. The inspired word of God for the people of God.
I invite you to take a few breaths. Notice yourself in this space. We have prayed this morning. We've read scripture to each other. The boys lit the candles for us like we do every week to remind us that God is present here with us. We've listened to what God has to say, and let's just continue in that this morning. Our scripture this morning is from Genesis, and the book of Genesis is 50 chapters long, and it's broken into two main sections. The first section is the first 11 chapters, and it is the Genesis, or the beginning, or the origin of creation. So we talk about the created order and God creating the world. And then the last part of it, which is chapters 12 through 50, is all about the genesis of God's people. That means the origin or the beginning of God coming and creating a people. And so that's where we begin with Abraham and Sarah. And then we move to Isaac and Jacob and Rebecca, and even Hagar is in there, and God is making a people. And so that's the biggest part of Genesis, but it's also a beginning. And so this morning we're going to talk about the genesis of faith, where faith comes from. In chapter 12, which is the beginning of this section about the genesis of God's people, Abram, who it later becomes Abraham, and his wife Sarai, who is renamed to Sarah, are promised that Abram will become great. God will make him great so that he can be a blessing to other people. And so Abram does get a lot of blessings. He gets riches and property. And so much, in fact, that in chapter 13, he and his nephew Lot have to split ways because the land that they were on, that God had given them, was not big enough for all of their animals, all of their livestock, to be able to thrive. And so they had to split ways. And then in chapter 14, which is right before what we read this morning, Abram goes to rescue Lot because Lot had been taken captive. And when Abram has this big military victory, it's considered another blessing. And he says that God had given him that blessing. But there is a problem, because Abram was promised to have lots of descendants, but he didn't have a child. And so it was a big problem. And so Abram and God walked together, and they had a relationship. But Abram had questions for God, and we saw these in our passage this morning. And the main question that Abram had was, God, what good does it do me to have lands and possessions when I don't have a child? When I don't have a descendant, what good is it to me? I will not be able to leave my legacy to anyone. And so it doesn't matter to me that you've given me all these other things. And Abram may not, according to what Abram said, he would not have had a trouble this morning had he been here. And I said, are you young or are you old? Abram would have known. He would have said, I am old, because he said he's in his upper 70s. And he said, we are past childbearing years, and you're telling me I'm going to have a son. And he found this to be ridiculous. So God did something with Abram that only God can do. God repeated that promise that he had made. This was actually the fourth time that he made the promise. He said, you will be great. And Abram said, but how will I be great? How will you give this to me if I continue to be childless? That was what Chris read to us this morning. And so God took Abram and said, come outside. And he said, look at the heavens, count the stars, if you can count them, so shall your descendants be. And then the next verse says, Abram believed the Lord. Now, I imagine Abram looking at the stars, and I think it would be lovely. It would be wonderful to be outside in the open country on a dark night with no artificial light to hide the brilliance of the stars. But honestly, it wouldn't have changed the facts of my life. And the facts of Abram's life were that he was infertile. They were infertile as a couple. They could not have children. And so the stars themselves didn't seem to change anything. But what did change something is that God was there with him. I kind of imagine God coming and putting his arm around Abram and saying, come on, let's go outside. And then with his arm around him, pointing to the stars. I don't think it was the stars that changed Abram's mind. I think it was the presence of God embracing him that changed his mind. It changed the way that Abram calculated without changing any of the facts of his circumstance. And that's the way God works. God gives faith, and God's presence facilitates belief. Now, this passage is a critical passage for Christianity. It's cited in many places in the New Testament. Paul uses it a lot when he is arguing with people about whether they are saved by faith or whether they are saved by works. And he says, no, it wasn't Abram's works or his circumcision that comes later. It wasn't that that saved him. He was saved because he had faith. So this actually is the genesis of faith. This is the very first time in the Bible that the word believe is used. It's the first time in the Bible that faith is used or seen. So this is the genesis. This is the very beginning, and we continually point back to it. Abram believed the Lord. He found God to be trustworthy, but he didn't muster it up on his own. He didn't just dig down deep and say, I'm going to have faith. No, he didn't just look at the stars and say, oh, there's a lot of stars in the sky, I'm going to have faith. No, God changed Abram's way of being before he changed his circumstance. God provided Abram with faith long before he provided him with children. So it is the genesis or the beginning of human faith, and we see it as a gracious gift from God. It is received by us, but it doesn't begin with us. It begins with God. You may notice that even within Abram's belief, even though he had said he believed, he was still free to question God. So he says, right after he said, oh, I believe, and it says he was counted, it was reckoned to him with righteousness, so it counted as him being righteous, then the very next thing Abram said was, oh, Lord God, how am I to know that I will possess this land? How am I going to know that what you're saying to me is true? And God said, well, prepare to make a covenant. And so now this is weird. very weird to us today. In ancient times, they didn't go down to the lawyer's office and draw up a contract with a bunch of precise words about how things are going to be laid out and what would happen if people didn't obey. Instead, they did this weird thing, and they got some animals together, and they cut the animals in half, and then they laid the animals out flat side by side, or half and like half the animal and laid them out flat. And then the two parties that were making the covenant, the two people, would walk down the middle of the animals, okay? So it's weird, gross, but there'd be these dead animals, and you'd walk down the middle of them. And what that symbolized, what it was implying, was we are going to do what we say, and if we do not do what we say in this covenant, then our fate, whoever breaks it, whoever breaks the covenant, my fate will be the fate of these animals. Okay? So it's saying, I am giving my life to this promise. Now, of course, they were not going to break the covenant, that you would keep the covenant because this is what you don't want to end up like the animals. So it was a time where they could celebrate being together. And I imagine that then they'd use these animals for big barbecue and celebrate together. But then my imagination often includes things like roasted meat and other good foods. So I don't know about that for sure. But I imagine that they didn't waste things, so they would have used the meat for something, something good. And because they were joining this party, this lifelong thing together, they would have, I think, celebrated together. So anyway, Abram got the animals ready. And since he said, I believe God, I imagine he was ready for the covenant ceremony. That means he was ready to stake his life on the promise of relationship with God. He was ready. But there was a problem. And this is a big problem. God didn't show up. He had the animals there. They were laid out. They were ready. And God didn't come. The scripture says in like half a verse, it says, and the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, and Abram drove them away. Can you imagine that? In faith, God, Abram had conversed with God. He asked God how to know. God said, prepare these animals. We're going to make covenant. And Abram did it, and he waited, and he waited, and he waited. So long, in fact, that the animals would have begun to decompose because vultures don't come immediately. It takes a while. So the birds of prey came, and he had to chase them away because he was trying to preserve the covenant that he was preparing for God. And he wasn't there. God was not there. Surely it hadn't been an easy task to be chasing the birds away, and surely preparing the animals, I mean, that wouldn't be an easy task either. And so Abram was exhausted, still no sign of God, just Abram and the stinky mess. And so Abram says he fell down in sleep, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. So I want to pause here in this story and ask you, does any of this sound familiar, aside from the animals being split in half? We don't do that. But does any of this sound familiar? Do you ever feel like God is late? Have you ever prayed for something for so long that you begin to grow weary that your situation or your circumstance is ever going to change? Do you ever get tired of doing your part in life and waiting on God, and you're left with no option other than just going to sleep, and it's unrestful sleep? Do you ever wonder how long, O Lord? Well, I have felt that way. Scripture explains that we do feel this way. This is a question, how long, O Lord? We see that in the Psalms a lot. How much longer will this financial issue that I'm having last? How much longer will we see unrest in our world and in our denomination? How much longer will we see examples of powerful exploiting the weak? Where are you, God? You're late, Lord, in this situation and in that. Another person is questioning their worth. Another relationship is at a breaking point. The people that I'm praying for still need healing. I'm struggling to understand, God. I have questions, and I'm tired. Have you ever been there? Maybe some of you are there now, or maybe you know someone who is there. Well, God's delay is not the end of the story. Abram slept, and God came in the fire and passed between the pieces. So God is often in Scripture seen as fire. We see it at Pentecost and many other places that we see the Spirit of God as a fire. And so the fire comes and passes in between the pieces. And God didn't go wake Abraham up and say, hey, get up, Abram. We're going to walk through here together. Abram continued to sleep, slept right through the whole thing, which makes me wonder if maybe we all ought to go to bed early and maybe we should just rest more. God often shows up in Scripture when we're sleeping. And so that's something to consider too. Sometimes we put too much stock in our own strength and what we're doing, and sometimes we need to rest. But God came and did the covenant alone that night, implying that God made promise for both parties, for Abram and for God. God did both. So that way, only God is held responsible by death if it doesn't come true. So God took God's responsibility, and God took Abram's responsibility. And it turns out the covenant was kept. Abram and Sarah did become Abraham and Sarah, and they did have a son, Isaac, and we have all been blessed through him. One of the stars that he would have seen in the night sky, you can see up there, one of those stars would have been lit for me. I am a descendant of this promise. One of them would have been lit for each and every one of you. One of the stars in that night sky would have been lit for lots of people that we know and love, and for a lot of people that we don't know, and for people that we don't love. Lord, help us. Pray that God will teach us to love the way God loves. But we all fall short. We try to live in our own strength, and we can't. I'm a farm girl. I grew up on a farm in South Central Iowa, and so I know what it is to work really hard, and I know what it is to have sweat just saturating all of your clothes while you're up putting up hay in the barn. I know what it is to get up in the middle of the night to go check the heifers that are calving. I know what it is to have my arm elbow deep in a sow helping them pig. I mean, it's hard work. I understand it. I have a strong work ethic. And I also grew up in the church. So I understand what you're supposed to do. I know the rules. I know the good behavior and the things to avoid. I have grown up that way. I have a moral life. And yet I know grace. I know faith. But I struggle sometimes to see myself as God sees me. I know that I'm received by God. I am God's child. And I have to accept that my work is good enough, not because I'm a good worker and not because I'm a good person. It's good enough because God is trustworthy, not me. And that's amazing, because God entered the covenant on Abram's behalf. God is faithful. God is trustworthy, even when humanity is not. So remember those animals? Abram prepared the animals, and who actually suffered the fate of the animals? No, not for this covenant, but for the covenant that we made with God, that humanity made with God. Ultimately, it was Christ who suffered the fate. God incarnate, God, took the covenant on humanity's behalf and on God's behalf. And it was Jesus Christ that suffered the fate on the cross the many years ago. That's why the hymn says, "'Tis mystery all, the immortal dies." on our behalf through Jesus Christ, God took the consequence and suffered in our place. Because God enters covenants on our behalf, God provides what we cannot do because God is trustworthy. And about Jesus, Scripture says, Jesus came when the time was right, at just the right time. Yes, from our perspective, God seems late sometimes. Yet through the active presence of God that is with us and in our lives, we are able to receive grace to wait, to question, and to work. We know that God is trustworthy. And Abram didn't just do nothing. He prepared, he worked, he waited. Most of us, too, are called not to sit idly by, but to work with God. God is faithful first, and then God empowers our work. And through faith, which is God's gracious gift, we live and we work and we wait with hope, because God is always faithful. So all of us need a genesis of faith. All of us need a place to begin. And when faith has begun, and perhaps faith has been going on for years and years and years, we still depend on God for renewal, for faith each day and in each season. God, the one who started the good work of faith within us, is faithful to complete it. So ask the Lord today to provide you with the faith that you need to live with God. And may we each receive God's gift today. Let's pray. Oh God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, help us to believe. Make us open to your Holy Spirit as you did Abram. Teach us to be honest with you, to question, and to seek. May your very presence with us cause us to trust, despite our circumstances and our timetables. Guide us to work with you in hope. Prove yourself faithful to us once again in this time and in this place and at our very points of need. God, we offer ourselves to you as much as we're able to, and we offer our gifts of service and money to this church. Thank you for the blessings that you give. Receive what we give back through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said, Amen.